I'm sorry, I'm not doing too well, so that if I get hot here, it's going to be.
All right, so everybody understands that.
That's the ultimate lie that Ryan says is he's not.
Right. And it's going to get worse here this morning. So be very, very alert. Because this is we're about to study the place of the total deception.
Can I say something? It seems like in one of the places it says every knee shall bow and every tongue confess.
That's what it does say.
Indicating future tense rather than present one.
No, look, read it. It says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and giving him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven, of things in earth, and of things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. It's not shall, it should.
There's a story in the paper this morning. It's getting bigger and bigger and bigger, this uproar about Mel Gibson's film about Jesus. And everybody's all upset because it's going to make Jesus look like they're the ones who killed Christ, blah, blah, blah.
They should read Melito of Sardi.
And, exactly. And it just occurred to me that when you're confronted with the statement that every knee is bowing and every tongue is confessing, that's right back in the procurator, or wherever it was, where Christ was questioned and beaten, and because he was ridiculed, because they said he was king of the Jews, and obviously he wasn't king of anybody because he was meek and mild and didn't confront his attackers and blah 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 blah. There's all this evidence that he isn't in charge, and it's the same. That courtroom is right here, and. So for people to get in an uproar who feel Christ is a symptom of the terminal disease.
Okay, now in verse 12, there's a wherefore. If you don't understand the wherefore, then you can't connect what it's trying to connect. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, every knee should bow, every tongue should confess, because he's given him a name that's above every name. Wherefore? Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, let's go to Ephesians 6. Just take a left a couple pages. Again, because every knee is bowing, every tongue is confessing. You can say should or shouldn't. That's straining at a gnat and swallowing a camel. But the point of it is, it connects to this. And this is where the tire meets the road in discipleship. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long in the earth. You fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, or workers, or whatever your position is, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. If you work for somebody, it is as unto Christ. Because every knee is bowing, every tongue is confessing, and the things that you don't like and the situations that you're put in that are unpleasant to you are the angels of God that are there working out this mystery of conforming you to the image of Christ. And if you trust your senses and murmur and complain because of the daily grind of your life, then you're a fool. And you're not obeying them as unto Christ. You're not working out your own salvation in fear and trembling. You're being
rebellious just as they were in the wilderness. Is that clear to everybody? Well, how come it's not ever done? Why is there constant murmuring and complaining about this or that? Well, and it has to do with the people that you work with, the people, your husband or your wife. It has to do with the whole world, but it also has to do with those that are over you spiritually. From my perspective, the elders in this community must be perfect and never have a problem. You can use the excuse, I've been sick, but that doesn't wash. Because for the many years that I wasn't, you never came to me with when you had a problem. Is that am I communicating to any of you? You might throw some sop towards me, or you can be as one of the informer employees and constantly murmured, and nobody ever exhorted him. Can you see the seriousness of this? When it says, work out your own salvation in fear and trembling, and you ignore the instruments of God that have been sent for your edification and benefit? Anybody have any response? Come on, I want somebody to argue with me.
Are you talking to...
I'm talking to everybody. I'm talking to all of you about all situations.
You're saying, you know, that you didn't want, well, like, the elders aren't...
I said the elders must be perfect. Their situations must be exactly perfect.
And they ought to be, or they...
No, they must be. Because I never hear.
Oh, okay.
I can count on one hand the number of times I've talked to Gary in 25 years about his problems. About the same with you. Do you think I'm stupid? Do you think I don't know the scriptures? I'll talk to John just as much as I talk to you. Do you think I'm without any wisdom with regard to understanding the things of life and the issues of life? The singular time that I remember that you came is when there was nothing that you could do. You talked to me about coming about to your business all the time, and then you never ignored. A couple of times that's happened. The only time that you came with a problem that was serious enough to come and seek whatever I had, whatever counsel I had, was when Angela went ballistic. Work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. Now, part of me is overjoyed that you haven't come and talked to me. But if you believe what we've been studying this morning, then there's a problem.
Where's the connection with what we're studying with this? I don't see that.
You want me to go into all the scriptures about the elders and coverings?
Just
and
the ones this morning.
Because you work out your own salvation in fear and trembling.
You made a big leap to me, and that's why I asked.
Okay, well, let's go on then. Just hold that thought, all right? Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free, whether he be a work employee or a boss, whether he be a rabbi or a teacher, whether he be in any position. and you masters. Now here, the word master simply means somebody that is over you in any condition, any position. Now we can go all through Timothy and all through Thessalonians and all the T books that talk about the duties of elders. But right now we're just talking about this issue. And you masters, do the same thing unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. Now we're coming to the reason why. And this is the place where most of the deception lies in the church and in the world. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, any sane person that reads that must believe that out there somewhere, whether it's in government or in business or in some mysterious netherworld, there's a bunch of enemies that you have that are coming against you. And that you have to fight them. Do you understand me? That's what is normally taught about that scripture, right? But that's not what it means. The spiritual wickedness is in a high place in you. That's why you give absolutely no confidence to the flesh. That's why you give absolutely no... You owe nothing to the ideas, opinions, emotions, plans. They are meaningless. They are worthless. Because there is spiritual wickedness in the high place. Now, if you have any doubt where that high place is, then we have a whole other problem. But I believe with everything in me, I know that the high place is within each of us, in our mind. Because it is the Antichrist, the 666, the instead of Christ. And he is sitting on, or she, the whore, Babylon, is sitting on the seven high places that are in our skulls. So therefore, if you are confronted with situations and you use this evil place for your counsel, and again, you use the evil place, the spiritual wickedness in the high places, even to try to comprehend spiritual matters.
Before this morning.
It was out there.
Yeah.
I know it's true, Ronnie. Thank you. Of course not, because that destroys their own attempts at self-deification. It destroys any possibility of having any righteousness on leaning on their own arm of understanding about anything.
What are principalities?
What are they? What do you think they are? No, I'm talking to Michael. What does the word bring to mind?
Rulers.
Places of authority.
Yeah.
Right. Each one of us. There are, if you search the scriptures, there are seven high places in everybody's mind. And those high places are the principalities of your life. They define how you respond to life itself, and without them you would not have been able to survive until you became a believer. But once you've said, once the temple has been dedicated, remember the seven high places that the tabernacle that was brought to once it got into the promised land. And then finally, when the temple was dedicated, it was illegal to use those high places. And every time that Israel fell into apostasy, it's because they went up, back up to the high places. Now those arenas of, you know, at your high place at any of the groves, the pillars, and all the stuff that some of us have studied for 30 years. But it is the arenas of authority. It's your Sanhedrin. It's your minion in your brain that provides you the guidance for you. Is that clear?
Before you become a
unfortunately, still. Because the temple hasn't been fully dedicated. And we wonder why God hasn't honored what we're about in our, you know, in our desperation. Well, he hasn't because we're still relying on the same high places that Israel did when it was in apostasy. And it's repeated over and over and over in the book of Chronicles and Kings. And if all you want to see what your condition is, read those places of apostasy. Am I communicating?
Yes.
How much of your life is defined by your ideas? How much of your life is defined by what you think about things? How much of your life is defined by your emotional response to stimuli? In every case, that's the area of your life where you're not abandoned, where you haven't picked up your cross, where you're relying on the spiritual wickedness in the high places to control your life instead of the Holy Spirit of God. Somebody's got some response. I can feel it.
It makes me think of the normal electrical activity of the brain as murmuring, and it's always happening. And if you listen to it.
That's why Paul said, I speak in tongues more than any man. I promise you, I speak in tongues almost constantly. Because it shuts it up. The evil one can't communicate with you. Gary, you look like you've been hit with a baseball bat.
Well, I'm working out some salvation here. How can we talk like this? Because this is like complaining, and yet say Jesus is Lord, which is the predicate of the whole thing. So what's going on here?
You don't want to go there, do you?
This is for other people.
Exhort one another daily while it is still called today, as the watchman warned them from what they're doing, because if you do not, then their blood shall be on your hand. Remember a former person that was here, and not, after he left, you told me all the times he had said the goofy things about me to you? Did you exhort him?
I talked to him about it occasionally, but...
Exhort.
Yes.
You didn't bring him to me. Just like every other time you've had a spiritual condition that you didn't bring to me. Am I starting to get through the wall? This isn't the first time we've been exhorted in this arena. But maybe today, when you connect it with Jesus as Lord, when you connect it that every knee should bow or be tongue confess, when you connect it to where the spiritual wickedness, the principalities really are, then maybe there can be some obedience in the kingdom of God as represented here. Anybody understand me? Anybody? I mean, now is the time. Because it's going to get worse. Now is the time to come back and say to me whatever is going on in you.
I'm trying to think of spiritual conditions that, I mean, you're talking about like dealing with something talking to you about it? Or
well, no, I don't want you to talk to me about it, except if the place that you come to the point where the solution isn't immediate, where you have to make a decision.
Yeah.
Remember, if you have to make a decision, if you have options, then there's a whole arena of, first of all, you should do nothing. You wait. But in that waiting, if your mind is still going, then you take advantage of whatever spiritual tools are available. I'm not asking you or ordering you or any stupid thing like that to talk to me. I don't give a damn if you ever talk to me. But I'm saying to you, if you're in a position where you think you have to make a decision about something, that means you're out of the rest and you're being deceived. Do you understand me? I'm not trying to order your life or get involved in your life in any way. I'm saying if you are in a position where you have to make a choice between one or more options, then you know you're wrong. And if you rise above the cloud and make the decision anyway, then you're doubly wrong. If you can't wait in silence, in peace, in joy, in the midst of this turmoil around you, and you're in that going, and your mind is going, and you haven't brought it to someone else's attention, then you've got a real problem. Because what you will do is you will automatically rise above the clouds, because I will ask you if you have any doubt. And if by me asking you the question, if you have doubt, the plain exhortation then is you do nothing. But if you rise above the cloud, then you are guilty of one of the five I ams of Satan. God has ordered us. God has put us in a position that we must be faithful to. I'm not saying, I don't care if everybody else in the universe that names the name of Christ believes that this spiritual wickedness is somebody in the Supreme Court or in Alabama, whatever. If you know the location of the spiritual wickedness in the high places, and you still take its counsel, then you're guilty of murder from God's
counsel.
Its counsel, the wicked one's counsel. If you use the tools that are cursed to exist in a spiritual life, you might as well just shoot yourself. Now, we haven't even gotten to this whole armor of God. We're going to get... Have I at least gotten your attention? That's why we live in community. That's why we are next to each other. But we are not really because, you know, how much vulnerability is there really? And how much, because the lack of vulnerability, how much then do you depend on that which is cursed to make your choices in life? What are you struggling with privately? You're not taking advantage of the tools, the unique tools that God has given us. You may not recognize this, but for most of the people that know us, we're their envy of how we live as believers. Envy.
They envy
this way of living.
Yeah.
But if you live in this way of living without living in this way of living, then you're a fool. Because you're still an isolated, lonely individual trying to make it with the tools of the curse But because you've said, Father, I present myself to you, you've made the Holy Spirit your enemy if you're using those tools of the curse. Now, my problem is this. He, God, the Father, is looking at us as one. I don't want to be guilty of using the tools of the curse. Let me just read this real quick. For we, in verse 12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Now, this is just another way of saying everything that we learned about the guidance of the Holy Spirit. If there is choices to make, you are to do nothing. You stand still and see the salvation of God. You abide in the tabernacle because the cloud is down. And this is the area that I'm talking about. If you're rising above the cloud and making the decision anyway, then you might as well just close this book and throw it away. And if you are sitting in the tent and you're totally upset, not at peace about it, and you haven't talked to someone, then you haven't made use of the tools that God has given you. Is that clear? For someone to tell me, and I'm looking at Harry. For someone to tell me that they've been struggling with something for 3 weeks makes me crazy. Some of you have been struggling with things for 20 years. You haven't made use of the tools that God has given. And so you allow the spiritual wickedness in the high places to have sway with you, to commit adultery with you, because you're going to some place other than the Father for your wine, your corn, and your oil. Which are the, you know, I won't have to repeat what all that's about. But you know that that is fornication because you're going up here instead of a total and complete childlike dependence of reliance on God. And you excuse it for 1,000 reasons. We haven't even, for 2 days I've been trying to get someplace, and we haven't even started to get where I wanted to get yet. And now we're out of time again.
We feel so bad for you.
You want to start in that direction, Gary? Huh?
Gary's all this over till tomorrow. We run out of
time. Anybody have any response? Or to your Bible study. Don't forget me. I'm just talking about to whatever your spiritual authority is. That's why I'm concentrating on the elders. With regard to the work of the foundation, if the people that actually work for me don't come to me and just continue on and say, oh my God, I've been dealing with this for 3 weeks.
Well, I'm not going to make a vow.
Oh, well, please make a vow. God almighty. Well, Ed, where have you been every other plant time? Don't you see the reason that I've been ill and out of it for so long is to see whether or not you would I mean, I'm not going to make anybody mad, but yes, I am, but
it's a difficult.
Too late.
It's like
I'm gonna write that down and laminate it for my wall.
Yes, I can.
It's a great name for the next last word.
Difficulty following this phrase.
I don't want to make anybody mad, but
sorry.
Say what?
whether you can believe this or not, is I believe is too stupid of a word, but I know that what we teach is true. All evidence from every corner of the universe testifies of it. Years and years of study testify that this is what was taught in the first years of the church. The fullness of the cross is your death. Abandoning yourself doesn't mean, well, just when I think about it. Giving no thought for your life means that. I believe that, again, hear me, nothing of value has ever been done in the world except it started by a very small group of people. For those of you that have known me for a long time, you know that I've had this, ever since the day I became a believer, I've had this incredible sense of destiny and purpose. That we had a unique purpose in the kingdom of God. That our function is to benefit the entire kingdom of God. For every, in all time and space, and no matter how much they know or don't know. That's God's business. But our business is to be faithful to what we've seen. I believe that each of you have been chosen out of the world and brought to this place to be discipled for the purposes of living this life. That we might in faith fill up the afflictions that are lacking in the body of Christ. That's our function. And for you to know this and not be faithful to it drives me insane. That's what I'm saying. For you to know this and still use the tools of the world for your sustenance and your satisfaction makes me crazy. So this is a wake-up call. Just to start, the alarm clock has just barely started ringing. Amen? Now, the more I have to say about this, the harder it is for me to get out of bed. Which is really weird.
I didn't think you were going to do well this morning.
I didn't.
Going.
Anybody have anything else to say? Jerry, you still look like you've been hit by a brick.
I almost missed this morning.
Huh?
I almost missed this morning. I was supposed to take Mel in school. Worked out the last minute.
You know, I was thinking that maybe not the last year, but it seemed like we've always been ending up in your office about all kinds of different things. I'm trying to think of what it is that, you know, that I'm not.
I'm not. I'm speaking more to Gary than to you.
Well, Gary.
So you can just relax.
But by the same token, I'm speaking to everyone.
Yeah, all
really.
Yeah.
Because
not to make a vow, but to see, Father, forgive me.
There's no, okay, I'm going to plan to do better. You can't go there.
Mm-hmm.
Another burden.
Huh?
The temptation is to just make it another part of the burden.
No, this is the total freedom. What's going on, Kevin? Are you hearing?
Yeah, just the thing I heard, though, is I'm sure you didn't mean this, but it sounded like your extended illness is due to the disobedience of the body.
No.
Because we're continuing to be tested.
It's like through your. It's almost like that's one of the many things God is doing.
Yeah, it's just
taking advantage of this time to.
No, I mean it's no more my extended illness is no more, it has nothing more to do with anything than the tree growing. I mean, it's whether or not you've washed the dishes, or I mean, there's no big deal about it.
There's one thing here about you being mad. I'm not going to make anybody mad. You make people mad a lot, but that madness, if you make me mad, and that's where I take it, and don't repent of that quickly and hear your words and see your heart, then I'm afraid of your face. I'm afraid of your apparent perception, my perception of what is anger that I have to protect myself. And then I close off if I don't repent quickly and I don't hear a damn thing. But I never saw that so clearly as this morning. There was a little bit of joke made out of it. That sometimes you sound mad, but that's not mad. That's there's something. It's a whole other place, and I'm just, you know, it's like Jeremiah, you know, says that, you know, don't be afraid of their faces. If we are, then if we're afraid of your face, then we can't move ahead. Because we're afraid of you.
That's why the people that are afraid of me have left.
Yep.
That's why they never talk to me when they leave.
They invested everything in that perception, which was all wrong.
But again, I'm not the subject of this. That's, forget me. The subject is making use of the what God has given us. He's ordered us to fly, but He's given us wings. And if you just continue to, forget walking, crawling around in the mud under the table of the Lord, looking for crumbs. When the sumptuous meal is there and the chair is available, all you have to do is sit down or stand up and then sit down. I mean, the one thing I have seen clearly in the pain for these last few years is the pain is what the condition of the physical is meaningless. I mean, I know that He's prepared a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. I know that He's anointed my head with oil. I know that my cup runneth over. I know that, you know, mercy and goodness are pursuing me. I know that I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I know that I shall not want or need. And I know that I owe my emotions and my mind and my thoughts and my ideas nothing. But think of the debt that you've gone into of your different ideas and plans and ideas and ambitions. The debt makes the national debt look like peanuts. And that debt, you can be rid of in an instant. And some of you don't even understand what I'm talking about here. The debt of your mind and ideas. I mean, it's huge. My only purpose is to present you perfect in Christ Jesus. That's why I'm alive. And if that means you need to do something other than repent, then my God, my work is hopeless. All right. But don't leave here thinking that I'm the subject of this. I am nothing. Subject is your rebellion.
That's what I was saying. I wasn't making you the subject of what I was saying. The subject is my lack of repentance, my bullshit, my incorrect perception.
And my I'm speaking to myself too, because since we haven't had stealth on Wednesday nights, then I, you know, I'm just as guilty as you are.
Yeah, I was going to say, I really don't have anything to talk to you about, but Skippy has several things that we might need to discuss.
Skippy isn't welcome.
Harry and Pete bust Skippy all the time. It's bad.
All righty. Please consider this carefully. I think Selah is the word.
Selah.
There's no other response other than what Joe Santa said. Father, forgive me, and let's move on. Okay?
Yeah.
All right.